Hey, welcome to Maine Yarn Podcast. Today we have another extra special episode and an interview with Patty Lyons.
Yeah, the famous Patty Lyons. She's going to talk to us about her latest book, which is a really exciting workbook. Can't wait to talk about that. Some great events she's got coming up all over the world. Mm-hmm. And she even got technical with us and demonstrated some knitting techniques live. So cool.
Yeah, it was great. You're going to want to see this one. So stay tuned. Hi, and welcome to our discussion with Patty Lyons. We are so excited she is here. Patty is coming out with a new book this fall, and she has an advanced copy she's willing to show us a few pages of, but we all love her existing book, her knitting book of tricks. We've referred to it a few times on the podcast, and we've got sort of an ongoing question about gauge. I think I'm gonna spring on you during this podcast.
Okay.
Between Julie and I and how gauge works. So but yeah, do you want to take a minute, Patty, and introduce yourself and where you're from and so forth?
Hi, I'm Patty Lyons. I'm coming to you from my studio, which is in the beautiful, beautiful Hudson Valley, New York. I was born in Chicago. I have an apartment in Brooklyn, but I work up here in the Hudson Valley and right across from Rhinebeck, right across the river.
I did see you when I was there.
You teach? Oh, yeah. I love Rhinebeck.
I was sitting at the end of the day. I was exhausted because I took a class on spinning flax and I just couldn't lift my arms or anything by the end of the day.
I've never spun flax.
It was tricky. It was a lot of work processing it. And I was just like, oh my goodness, I just like a workout today. And I couldn't even get off the bench to go say hello to you.
Did you walk past me?
Oh yeah. The whole thing. It was fun.
That'd be so cool. I mean, I've seen it, but I've never done it. I'm kind of a rotten spinner. I just spin for the fun of it. But that sounds cool.
It was. Yes. Very cool.
Yeah. And I'll be in the author building again, but this time she's so nice. Merit Books runs the author building and it's an amazing thing. And she's very, very nice about the authors setting their schedule. So 2 years ago, I did both days. I was there like the whole time. And then, you know, you're like,
I know.
So last year I did, 1.5 days. And I think today, this year, can't remember, I have to check my schedule. She had you set specific times, which is really great. So I think people, I don't want to commit, but I think the idea is that you'll be able to see when authors are at the table.
Oh, great.
To sign.
Nice.
Which is cool. So
I'm
going to be able to like get outside this time.
So, yeah, you don't have to just sit outside the buildings and stalk you the way that Jen obviously did last
time. No, I was waiting for you, I think, to come back to your class. Julie and I, or at least I did. I signed up for classes the whole time I was there and didn't leave enough time for shopping. So it was like, all right, you get a 5-minute break. I'm like, all right, I'm going to run to this booth really quick and look at that thing.
So, yeah, a lot of my friends
that was
do
my
the
first
Thursday.
Time.
Friday class scenario.
Yeah.
And then Saturday and Sunday at the festival. But they sell out so fast. I wanted to get into the basket weaving one. I checked like in the afternoon, the day registration opened, and like, whoop, okay, I guess we'll try again.
Yeah. Yeah, it was crazy. I think I signed up for fewer just because a lot of the ones I wanted were already sold out. By the time so Rhinebeck is one of the amazing things. We got distracted though, right? Because we said Rhinebeck, we're like, "Woo, squirrel!"
I totally squirrel. Like she's been wolf.
But it's lovely to meet the amazing and may I say famous Patty Lyons. And you were just—I think you introduced yourself. You're from Chicago, but you're an author. How many books have you written now? And anything else you want to kind of give for your background?
Nice. Those two. I have a. We're excited about the translations. We have, so far, I've already received the German translation and the Japanese translation. The Korean translation comes next. And then the Italian translation comes next. And a super exciting thing was normally the way it works is a book is published first. And then the co-editions, the translations, will look at the books and decide what they want to co-author. But the German translation of the workbook, it's already set. So
yes, yeah. Oh, nice.
That was really cool.
So I could actually order the German version.
Well, I don't think, I'm not sure if it's out for ordering yet.
Okay.
But you can order the German original book for sure.
Oh. Well, yeah. I have that one in English, so I might be inspired to cheat. But yeah, I speak German too. So just kind of gave me an idea. Maybe I do the workbook in German.
Can I show you the cover? Because I think it was, because you'll appreciate it.
Yeah.
I think this is really...
Wunderzüge der Tricks. It's very hard to say. But yeah, the eyes. Yeah.
The needles here for the eyes, but look.
That's so cool. That is very cool.
Anyway, I have a couple German speaking friends and they were like, oh, that's so clever. So I was excited.
Yeah, they're beautiful books. Well, the one I haven't seen the workbook yet, but I believe it is. So
I have to say, we've seen pieces of the workbook, right? But in a virtual fashion. And I got to say, the workbook is everything that you love about knitting and tactile hobbies, right? Is in the workbook. So now I'm like, I need the physical workbook because it has
stickers.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing is that people have asked me already, like, is there going to be a Kindle version? And I'm not sure that we're going to do that because the whole idea of a workbook is it's about you journaling pasting in your yarn snips and your pictures of your swatch or your physical swatch itself, and the stickers and all that fun stuff. But it's very, it's a very interactive journey and it's your journey because I was inspired by Dr. Seuss's The Book About Me, which it's actually over there. I found my original book from when I was 8 years old. I found it.
Wow.
Because the very first line of the workbook says, my favorite book when I was a kid was Dr. Seuss's Book About Me.
Yes.
But all the pronouns in the book are always we, when we do this, all the pronouns in the workbook are you because it's about you and your knitting. So.
Yeah. I love that about Knitting Bag of Tricks, which I will say is great for, which is the not the workbook, but the first one, right? But it's great for kind of like a little coffee table dip in, dip out book. I don't know if that's the intent, but I'll have it around and I'll read a little piece of it. And I'm like, oh, I never knew that. Gotta remember to talk to Jen. So I love that. And then the workbook is just taking that one step further. We're like, okay, you've read this and now let's apply it and let's learn some stuff about your knitting. And I love that it's, you might knit this way and that's not wrong. Whereas I think a lot of our training, a lot of us live through, no, you're doing that wrong. No, you need to do it this way.
Right.
I love that. It's very open.
Well, another thing I found when I was packing, and I'm going to put it on Instagram, is one of the very first things I knit, and you'll see every other row is twisted. So my hands remembered the purl that my grandmother taught me. And I looked and I just wanted to be reminded of the knit. And this was before, YouTube and videos. Mm-hmm. So there were books.
Yeah.
And I matched the photos in the book. But the book was, what I call the do this style of teaching, not anything about the why. No one ever, explained like it's a hole.
Mm-hmm.
You reach your hand through the hole or you reach your hand through. I learned the knit again and then I was twisting every other row. So I was told by a friend I was knitting wrong. And I was because I was twisting every other row. But instead of sort of explaining to me, because he didn't know, he was, he just knit the way he knit.
Yeah.
Instead of explaining all the options, he just said, no, knit the way I do. So the only thing that's wrong ever is if you make a stitch you didn't intend to make. If it's not the fabric you meant, but there are so many different ways to get to the same fabric.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. And it's, when I tink, for example, I like to tink from the wrong side of the stockinette. And then my stitches are twisted, but I know that in my next row, I'm going to fix it. Like it frees me up a bit that maybe that's not just sloppy knitting. Maybe it's okay. We'll see. The tension might be different, but you know, I love that kind of improv, you know, yes. And do what makes sense. And just, yeah. And it's only wrong if you didn't intend to make that stitch, unless of course you like love what you did wrong. Right. Which I think is where a lot of knitting comes from as
Unventing.
Well. Yeah.
Totally. There are times, and I talk about that in one of the very first classes I ever taught back in my yarn store days, was a class called Knitting ER. And I still teach it to this day. I filmed it. And it's because, you know, people would go to the yarn store and I'd see them waiting out front, you know, and you're used to, you know, you let them in, you fix their problems because, you know, they've been waiting for you. And one day, I don't know what got into me. I was tired. I needed to get the cafe set up because it was a cafe yarn shop. I needed to get the coffee going. And I said, do you want me to fix this or do you want me to show you how to fix it? And she was like, oh, if you could show me, because I made this mistake at 10 p.m. and I had to wait until you opened at noon. And, you know, so anyway, I showed her. And one of the things I say in Knitting ER is don't just rip. When you make a mistake, first of all, sometimes I like to maybe combine frogging and tinking where I'll just, you know, if I'm seven rows above it, maybe I'll rip until a row above it. And then I'll tink carefully to the mistake. And I call that knitting archaeology. But, you know, where you like see, that's what happened. But
he's the digger and then the shovel.
Yeah. Exactly. Sometimes you'll look and you'll see, that's what happened. Oh, that created this cool effect. I didn't want to do it here, but I'm going to bank that in my memory. Mm-hmm. So there are several patterns or stitches or things or sometimes tricks that I've come up with that came from a mistake. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, I didn't mean to do that. But
that's great. I think it's so freeing because I think a lot of us grew up with you do it this way. And if you don't, it's wrong. So it's so freeing.
To, like, totally.
Look at it. Learn something. Yeah.
I've been reading this book as a advanced knitter, I guess you could say, and I'm learning a lot of new things. But do you think this is a good book for a beginner knitter as well?
I think it's a good book for all levels, and the reason I think it's good for beginners, obviously there'll be so many things in the book that they haven't done yet, right? So as far as the advanced knitters getting, you know, more advanced tricks on, you know, cable cast on and increases and decreases and German short rows and, you know, things like that, that they might not have, a beginner knitter might not have even experienced yet. Mm-hmm. But information is, I think information never goes here over your head. It goes here to the back of your head. And then the first time maybe you're a beginner knitter and you've never knit in the round, but then the first time you do, you're like, oh, that's what that means about
that's
the spiral. And how this, you know, once you join the, but also chapter one, I think is what I've gotten the most feedback on, which is really funny. It's the same thing. A million years ago, I filmed a class called Improve Your Knitting, Alternative Methods and Styles, which taught picking, throwing, Eastern, Western, combination, Portuguese knitting, and knitting and purling backwards. It's like a giant class. But right before I started it, I just did like, oh, you know what? I'm going to do a quick introduction chapter with some basic good knitting techniques about sizing your stitches before we go into the, you know. And those first 2 minutes, I got the most feedback on. And that evolved into a whole class, Build a Better Fabric, Perfect Your Knitting. So if you're a beginner knitter, I'm often asked by people that teach beginning knitting in yarn stores, like, oh, how do I know you say, like, don't teach like this, you know, put your needle in here like this, and then you're going to wrap the yarn around. But, you know, isn't it too much for a beginner knitter to sort of get all that information? And I say, no, it's really not. Because when a beginner knitter sees that stitch that loop on the needle, pull it off the needle and show it and be like, oh, okay, this is just a series of interlocking loops. My needle is a hand that either reaches front to back through the hole to pull a new loop through, or back to front through the hole to push a new loop through. Then they're not going to do all the things that I did as a beginner knitter, which is stick your needle anywhere, because you can't see what the hole is when it's all on the needle. So I think there are sort of fundamentals about the structure that, had I understood from the beginning, then everything else I learned after that, from lace to cables to brioche to double knitting, everything else would have been easier for me to understand if I understood the foundation. So that's why there's a lot of stuff in there that's sort of only for advanced knitters, but that shouldn't scare beginner knitters away, because that foundation is so important.
Good.
Reminds me of somebody I know who, I'm not going to call him out on the podcast, but when he was a kid, we had to learn times tables. And how did we learn times tables? We learned them by rote, right? We just learn. So this person I know wasn't learning them by rote. He was just adding them up in his head really fast. So if it's 3 times 4, he would do 4 plus 4 is 8, and then plus another 4 is 12. So 3 fours are 12. So he was doing that, which, you know, granted, as you get further along in the times tables, it takes a lot longer. But he ended up being a real math whiz, because it showed that he understood what we were doing. Whereas most of us at that age, like, why are we doing 3 by 4? And what does that mean? I don't know, but it's 12. You know, it makes me think of that.
Can I tell you, that's so funny that you say that, because there's a story I tell in the gauge class, which is really true. That I had a 10-year-old take my gauge class, and we're going through Patty's magic triangle of gauge, you know, stitches and rows, right? What I say before you learned anything about gauge, you remember the triangle by, so really, I'll guess. It's in the book. You know, stitches, rows, inches. I had to add, so really, I'll continue to guess to make sure that there's centimeters, inches. Yeah. But I was going through a certain formula, and the 10-year-old raised her hand and said, oh, I know this one. I said, okay, talk to me. And she said, this one's addition. I said, okay, explain it. And she said, because I'm doing knitting in my math class. And my teacher said, if we have 5 stitches inside every inch, and I want something, a scarf that's 8 inches wide, I have to add 5 plus 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 5. And I said, you're absolutely right. We have a shortcut. It's called multiplication. And she said, oh, I do my times tables next year. I don't know my times tables. And I said,
but you already do.
But you now have a deeper and more profound understanding of gauge than most adults.
It's so true.
Thank you.
That's awesome.
That's so funny that you say that, because it's just a shortcut for addition, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Yep.
Oh, that's so cool. Yeah. It always makes more sense if you understand the why. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I have trouble memorizing. A lot of people are good at what I call watching and matching. Mm-hmm. So now with YouTube or with a class, they might watch a demo and they can match it. So just because you can watch and match doesn't mean you really learned it, because probably the next time through, you won't be able to do it. Mm-hmm. And do you guys remember the late, great Kat Bordy? Either one of you?
Oh, yeah.
So she taught a class on the Mobius cowl, and the off of her Mobius cast on. It's a pretty complicated cast on. And this was back in my yarn store days. And after a 3-hour class, she said, okay, so show of hands, how many people are, you know, pretty far along with the cowl? They think they're going to finish, you know, soon. Today or a couple, you know, there's a couple of hands, people had almost finished the cowl. How many of you are, you know, pretty far along, we're going to finish this week? And she said, how many of you have just gotten past the cast on? There were a couple, you know, there were like 3 or 4 hands. And she said, looking around, okay, so everyone that's almost finished or pretty far along, I don't want you to feel bad about the fact that when it comes to try to do this cast on again, you won't be able to. So show of hands again of the people that just finished the cast on. Okay, so go to those folks and ask their help, and they'll be able to show
that's
you.
That's awesome.
Because the people that had to fight for it really owned it and understood it. Just because their brains, and that's how I don't watch and match. I can't do it. Mm-hmm. Just because you can't watch and match well doesn't mean you're not an excellent knitter, because you fought for the why.
I like it. Yeah, there's a lot of great stuff in your gauge chapter on why gauges lie, gauge swatches lie. I thought that was great. And
why we lie to ourselves because we don't swatch properly.
Yes.
Our gauge swatch does not lie when it's a section of an accurate predictor of our knitting. That's what gauge is supposed to do. Mm-hmm. We allow it to lie to ourselves.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. Why people think it's lying, I guess, is really what you were saying. And I can say Julie and I have both done some of the things in that chapter. Mm-hmm. But the question I have for you on gauge is, so this has been Julie's invention, maybe. I don't know if you figured out why it is yet, but if you knit.
Oh, yeah.
If you knit throwing, and I forget the other terms for them, throwing.
English. Throwing is also called English. Every once in a while in older books, it's called American.
Okay. So when you do that, your gauge, you can get stitch gauge, but not row gauge. Your row gauge is very long. And mine always is too. But if you knit European, continental, with picking, basically, your row gauge tightens up.
I get squarer knits when I do continental than when I do English. May as well claim it. Yeah.
So that's not an invention. That's your personal knitting style. So okay. I want to be really clear. And also I want to make sure we're not mixing up continental and combination because they're different. Continental means you're holding your yarn in your left hand, but the stitch is structured the same. Mm-hmm. Combination, the yarn wraps under for the purl, not over. Okay.
Not intentionally. But I'm terrible with pearls.
What I'm wondering if maybe you were doing is some combination that was changing. I really
wasn't, because I was doing it in the round anyway.
The pearls. But if you were wrapping the yarn around your needle.
Okay, hold on a second. Now we're at a totally different topic. So it's really important that you don't do what I call the false equivalency, which is like, when I do continental, it's this. Because now you just mentioned in the round. Mm-hmm. So now in the round is a whole different ball game.
Yeah.
You never purl.
Right.
So when you can't compare in the round knitting with flat knitting gauge, because one only knits and one has knits and purls. So they're very, very, very different. The purl is thinner and taller. That's why I call it the Laurel and Hardy of fabric. And the knit stitch is wider, which is why in flat knitting, your sides curl, because actually it's even though it's a single fabric, it's kind of magical. One side is wider than the other. Mm-hmm. That's why it curls over. Mm-hmm. But for many, many, many people, they might struggle with the continental purl. And if they're doing flat, they get a better gauge from throwing. So it's not continental equals the more even gauge.
My question, though, is if I do two gauge swatches, both in the round, both all knit, one continental, one English, and I will do this as homework, just to be sure, I find that my knits are squarer when I do the continental than when I do the English style, which is what I grew up with, obviously. And I have real row gauge problems getting gauge with my more natural style of knitting, which is the English. And I'm wondering if that's just me or if that's a real thing.
Absolutely. So again, you cannot equate, this knitting style or method is better. So I've got a little knitting on my needle here. The one thing that's important is I don't want people to think that there's an always. I always say there's never an always, there's always a never. So every knitter is different,
as far as how they hold their yarn, how they make a stitch. But the important thing is about using your actual needle as a measuring cup. Mm-hmm. So when you're throwing, this is just a tiny bit from Build a Better Fabric, Perfect Your Knitting. The issue with throwers is the knit stitch is a loop pulled through a loop. And we pull an object easier than we push. So whether or not you hold your yarn over your finger and your hand leaves the needle, whether you just hold it between your thumb and forefinger, or whether you're kind of a flicker where your needle flicks back to get the yarn. Mm-hmm. The issue with the knit stitch is for a thrower, this little piece of yarn, it has to act like a sewing machine. So when you're on a sewing machine, this never goes slack, right? It goes up and down, up and down. So same thing with a thrower. Their hand with the knit stitch has to retreat and then size back. And it has to size to the shaft of the needle before you exit. But with the purl stitch, a lot of throwers, first of all, with the knit and the purl, a lot of throwers will go slack right there. So when you are knitting or purling, if you're allowing this to go slack, then if you look directly at the head of your stitch, of course, mm-hmm. this is light yarn and you can't really see it. And you see that, you see air beneath the stitch. Or mm-hmm. if you look this way and you see air beneath the stitch, then you know you're not really using your needle to size your stitch. Mm-hmm. Often I'll say, you know, pull that needle off and unscrew it and screw the next needle on if it's interchangeable until you find one that slides right in. Same thing with a picker. You have to size to the shaft of the needle before exiting. So a lot of pickers will be la 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 well, quite fast, but notice mm-hmm. that needle has nothing to do with the size of the stitches just made. Mm-hmm. And same with throwing. If your personal throwing technique goes slack, but your personal continental technique doesn't, mm-hmm. then you're going to get a better row gauge. But it's yeah. not a secret formula where continental equals this, throwing yeah. equals this, Portuguese okay. equals this. So yeah. every knitter can improve their... So that's not really an invention. Yeah. That is a discovery that you made about your personal knitting.
Okay.
But what would be helpful is to look at your fabric on the needle.
Yeah.
If it's interchangeable, mm-hmm. it's really not, you can just slip, but yeah. really look at the face of those stitches and pull down on that fabric. And if you see that, if you see yeah. space underneath your stitches, then yeah. you know you're not really using your tool to size your stitches. So there's a whole class on that called Build a Better Fabric, Perfect Your Knitting. And awesome. The thing I like about that class is it's not teaching knit like this.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
It's not teaching converting people to continental or converting people to combination or converting people to Portuguese. Everyone comes in and is knitting in their own style. What I'm showing is some fundamental tricks for everybody's style or method, but it's about the angle the two needles are held, how the stitch exits, the angle of the yarn to the needle, all that stuff. And then you get to, you know, look at everyone's knitting and give your personal tips. Yeah. So
that's great. Yeah, I think I'm going to have to reach out and find some time that we can schedule that class for KnitWit, because I would like That'd to take amazing. It. And I'm sure our listeners and customers would as well.
Yeah, awesome. I want to take it too.
Okay. We'll make sure you can be there.
Two spots already. Yeah.
So, we've been talking for a while already, and we haven't even gotten to the workbook. So do you want to tell us what the workbook's about? This is what's coming out in October, I believe, and it will be available for pre-order
it's
our website.
Do you have your page set up already?
It will be set up by the time this goes live.
Oh, So I'll make sure, because I'm going to be building the local yarn store page on my website.
I'm going to send you an email.
Great. So the workbook was inspired really by how many people said, oh, I wish this, I love the book, but there's so much in it. I wish it could be a class. But two things. One is if this thing was a class with all 70 tips, it would take about 79 hours to teach live. But more importantly, I wanted, even if it was a video class, it's still a one-way dialogue. It's me teaching. But what I wanted was to find that missing element, which in teaching, which is the tactile element. Oh, this is the ownership page. You can knit anything. This is all inspired from Dr. Seuss's My Book About Me. But the very first line says, when I was a kid, my favorite book was Dr. Seuss's My Book About Me. But I also say, when I'm working with my students in a classroom, I'm employing all three prongs of learning, verbal, visual, tactile. In Patty Lyon's Knitting Bag of Tricks, I wanted to put a master knitting class in your hands. Thanks to my brilliant editor, Carol Sikowski, we have the verbal covered, the words. Thanks to my equally brilliant technical illustrator, Linda Schmidt, we have the visual covered, the pictures. But tactile, the hands-on knitting, that's the missing link. And that's where the workbook comes in. So it's broken into three sections. And it's just the how to use the workbook. So the first section is all of the exercises. And what we have is every single tip in the book is, I created patterns for them. And it was really tricky to like lay out all the tricks and try to figure out a series of swatches. So, you know, you might start with swatch one and, you know, it says swatch one's cast on 25 stitches and that one's used in lesson one and six. So you do one trick and then you set that aside and come back to it. So it's all about you exploring your knitting, and you have question prompts, you have the swatches to really dig into. You have your swatch observations, because that's what I was really hoping that, oh, that's my little picture. I bought one of those little printers that print stickers.
Oh, those are so cool.
Yeah. That's right. Oh yeah, I love them. I have it linked to my in my video about like how to use the workbook, and it's in my Amazon store. So you have all your swatch observations. When it comes to the gauge, there's a lot of fun exercises, and there's fill in the blanks, which yes, involves some math so that you can really put the gauge stuff to practice. And just, it covers every single thing. Oh, there's some stickers. So what workbook would be complete without your stickers? So you have your Knitmoji.
Oh, I love those.
I know. Jen, you had Janet stickers.
Like, yeah. These were, the Knitmojis also has, those were designed by Franklin Habit. There's also stitch markers, the Knitmoji stitch markers. Those are
nice. I love the mind blown there. That's so cute.
You have your badges, your, you know, congratulations badges, your Gage Star, Captain Cast On, just fun tools, all sorts of, my favorite trick, work on this. To remind you, like, you know, favorite trick, don't forget, practice this. And this is to dress up your sheep, which I'll tell you in a second. So, and don't fear, there are answers in the back in case you're like, did I do that calculating of pickup right? I want to double check. So, all your exercises, your new illustrations by Franklin Habit, which I love. Mm-hmm. Then you have your My Work section. And that's where, after you've finished the whole workbook, you have 12 months, 12 skill building projects. So I'm hoping that this journey continues, and you have your project pages where you can put in your, you know, your yarn, your picture of your project, all that good stuff. There's some other fun tools. Like I've got other things that you can buy, little bundles your washi tape. You've got two different washi tape things. You can get the these guys, your extra stickers. But really, I also wanted local yarn stores and guilds and groups of friends to be able to work together. So if you're a solitary knitter and you really want to dig into your knitting and this workbook is your, you know, your fun time, your personal time, that is awesome. I've also heard from friends, like I got an email saying, oh, me and my six friends bought the workbook and we're going to do it together. We're going to get together once a week and compare, you know, compare our swatches. And, but I also built for yarn stores. If they've ordered a certain amount, they can get a 4-week, 6-week, or 8-week curriculum for technique along, whatever works best for them. Because the idea is, it's not a class. You don't need a teacher. You need a host, and they can come in every week. They can work through the workbook. They can compare their, you know, swatches. They can say, did anyone else have a problem when they did? Mine looked like this. Oh yeah, I had that problem, but I did this and this and this. And it's about people learning from each other.
Yeah.
And building that sense of community. But then I hope that it can continue for a yarn store to be like, okay, we finished our, you know, 6-week technique along. Now let's pick out yarn for your first project for your 12 months of skill building. You know, come back every time you finish. We'll take your photo. Maybe there's 10% off yarn for the next, you know, I don't know. You can have Facebook groups just for the technique along. You can have a fashion show at the end of the year. So
yeah,
I really wanted to create a whole program for yarn stores because I used to run yarn stores and it's hard to come up with programming, that constant thinking of, you know, new ways to keep people engaged and enhance their skills and enhance community and all that stuff. So that's what I'm most excited about.
Definitely looking to add that program this fall when we get the books in. So looking forward to that as well. And some of it reminds me of like Girl Scouts. So I don't know if you were a Girl Scout as a child, like, you know, getting your badges, going through and like, here's the things you learned you need to do to get that next badge. And
you need a knitting badge. More than a knitting badge, you need a whole
We have Captain Cast On, Bind Off Boss, Gauge Star. Oh, Yarn Adventurer. That's for lesson 3, there's a section about yarn substitution and challenging people to pick out 3 different yarns, an animal fiber, a plant fiber, a man-made fiber, swatch the same 3 yarns you've never tried. Swatch the same stitch pattern, like, you know, sort of see what things are like. Of course, we have finished. Yeah, your finished object.
Yeah, it's going to take me a while during that
one. In for later. I like that one. But that's so funny. Girl Scouts with badges.
Yeah. And the other thing it reminded me of, and it's sort of, so I don't know if you've done the Master Knitter program from the Knitting Guild Association. It's similar, but a lot less whimsical and fun. It's like, you know, you build your binder and here's all the skills you've learned, and then you send it in and there's somebody's checking it on you.
But right. And
those are the knitting police that I.
That's the big difference. Yeah. So this is not between you and a teacher.
Right.
It's between you and you. So no one is going to tell you if you do the one move SSK, that's not correct because you're twisting the bottom stitch. If you like it that way.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
You're doing the central double decrease trick, which also twists the bottom stitch. Mm-hmm. But also no one's saying, do it again. That's no good. Except you. If you say, I want to work on that again. And I was talking to someone yesterday that got an advanced copy of the workbook. And he said, I like that the pages for the swatch duration and the pictures and notes are enough space to write that I was thinking I might do a swatch, you know, take a picture of it. But then I might come back to that years later. Like I want to keep working with this workbook and I might do the same thing and do another picture and see like how I've advanced. And I thought, oh, that's a really cool idea.
I love it.
So I loved that idea.
Yeah.
Exciting.
All right. Well, I am super excited now for the fall and getting ready to cast all this on.
I will be at Rhinebeck.
Yes, so. Thank you. I was going to say, do you want to do a quick rundown of when is the book coming out? And then what do you have coming up? A few things.
The book comes out October 1st. I will be at Rhinebeck signing books. And that's pretty, I think that's my first, that'll be like the book launch. That'll be the first official event. So I'm pretty excited about that. Also, I just love Rhinebeck.
Yeah.
And then some other upcoming fun stuff. I'm just heading out to Scotland next week. And that trip is all booked. But my next big knitting trip will be in February, which is Madrid. We're going to the Love Yarn Festival. We're going to Wool Dreamers. We're going to travel all around. It's going to be amazing. And I think there's seven or eight spots left, I think, to the Brazil trip. Madrid. Sorry. You can find that on my website. And then after that, I'll be opening up registration in the fall for my retreat, Affinity, which has a brand new venue. We're going to be in Cooperstown, New York, in beautiful fifth generation family run resort. It's going to be gorgeous. And I can't tell you who the teachers are yet, but that will be announced in September. I'll announce the teacher lineup and the vendor lineup, and it's good.
Awesome.
It's really good. So I'm really excited about that. And I'm going to Oregon at the end of September. I forgot, for the Vogue retreat. That's going to be beautiful. Sun River, Oregon. So, and I think there's a couple spots left for that too. Nice. It's going to be a busy, busy travel year. There's a Rhine River cruise that we've taken over the whole ship with
Girl
and Knits and Cabin Boy Knits. That's in the summer of 2025. That one's all booked. But the Danube River cruise with Mary Jane Mucklestone for the holiday markets. We're doing the holiday markets in November.
Weihnachtsmärkte. I'll throw some German in there. Weihnachtsmärkte. Yeah.
I'm so excited. I'm assuming you have done the holiday markets.
Yes. Yeah. I haven't done the cruise, but yeah, I used to live in Germany. The gebrannte Mandeln, the foods and the what do they call them? Like the chestnuts, roasted chestnuts. And I'm just thinking of the food right now, but yes, there's a lot.
So excited. I mean, that just sounds so dreamy. And if we sell out, we take over the whole ship. So the whole river, there'll be no civilians. I mean, except for civilians. like my husband.
Muggles.
My husband's coming. But yeah, there'll be no one staring at us going, what are you guys doing? What is that?
Oh, my grandma used to knit.
Yeah. No, my grandma used to crochet.
Yeah.
What are you going to get?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So yeah, pretty excited. It's going to be, awesome. It's going to be a big, exhausting year.
And what That's is awesome. Your website and social media? If people want to follow you and find more.
Pretty easy to remember. You just add .com to my name. So it's pattylyons.com. And you can find me everywhere from there. Instagram is technically Patty J Lyons, but if you just put in Patty Lyons, you'll find me. You can find everything from my Facebook, group to Instagram, Threads, everything right on my website. And my learning platform, my school, is a subsite of my website. It's just education.pattylyons.com, but you can find that through pattylyons.com. So that's my interactive school where I have my video classes, but people, click the little speech button bubble and they ask questions and I log on and answer them. And there's community groups and all sorts of fun stuff. Yeah.
Great. All right. Great. Well, thank you so much. This has been amazing. Love talking to you.
It's been real pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Enjoy the beautiful fall coming up and sweater weather coming up.
Yeah. Yes. And maybe we'll see you at Rhinebeck. Haven't decided yet for this year, but we'll see.
Oh, you got to come.
Okay. Twist my arm.
Okay.
Bye.
Well, thank you, Patty.
Thank you.
Wasn't that awesome?
That was amazing.
Yeah, we got to talk to Patty Lyons, you guys.
We're fangirling over here.
So that was awesome. Thanks. This has been another episode of the Main Yarn Podcast.
Yeah, if you want to find the show notes, as always, they're at knitwitportland.com and click on the Main Yarn Podcast button somewhere on that homepage. Maybe under Knitting Resources, too.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Website. Yeah, I don't know.
But
we'll find it.
Until then, happy knitting.
Yeah, happy knitting. Bye-bye.
Bye.